This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Thanks for listening. Here's today's message.
Well, good morning, Bridgeway. It's great to see you here today. I want you to do me one quick favor. Could you put your hands together and thank Pastor Mike and Tori as well for keeping us in the loop this morning? Awesome, awesome job. Thank you, guys. So good. So good to be just a community that desires community and being connected as well as serving. And so I'm excited for both of these events that are coming up in our church. But I'm excited today to be with you. And if you are new or if you're visiting with us, we began a conversation last week addressing this question, what's heaven like? And I'm realizing now that I'm a couple weeks into this subject, just how challenging and how immense this topic truly is. And so I just wanted to say as your pastor, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, the privilege, as I really consider it, to teach and to dig into God's word together with you. It's been just so fulfilling for me, even this past week, just thinking about today. In fact, if you weren't here last week, I want to just say one thing as kind of a recap. Last week, I gave a disclaimer. I said that I'm going to talk about a subject, I'm going to talk about heaven, and newsflash, I've never been there, right? Like, I haven't gone to heaven and then come back to tell you all about it. I haven't even read most of the popular books on heaven. I haven't read Heaven is for Real. I haven't read 90 Minutes in Heaven. I haven't read any of the Left Behind series. But I do believe the Bible gives us a very accurate and a very full view as to what heaven is going to be like. And I'm humbly trying my best to lead you in what that would look like. I said last week, kind of as a description, the Bible really gives us three things that we know about heaven. I said the first thing is that heaven is a kingdom. In fact, this was really Jesus' favorite way of referring to heaven. The kingdom of heaven is near. He was referring to himself. Jesus came from heaven, and it's a kingdom. Second thing we learn is that heaven is a city. We see that that God's redemptive plan was to create a garden and to bring into it a city, a flourishing city. And the city of heaven is full of people who want to be there. It's full of people that love God and want to be there. And then the third thing I said is that heaven is the place where you will see God face to face. That you will literally, you will see the face of Jesus. It'll be FaceTime with Jesus in heaven. Far better than Facebook, trust me. You will get to experience and be a part of that community. Now, today what I want to talk about is sort of a controversial angle when it comes to heaven. And to get you thinking about this, let me just ask you, is there anything that you can think of right now that you just hate to do? It bores you to death. Like, get in your mind, like the one thing that just bores you, just puts you to sleep. I'll give you a few of mine. Top of my list would be doing my taxes. I find no joy in doing my taxes. It just bores the daylights out of me. I already did my taxes, but I found myself Friday having to look something up, and I'm looking up tax code online, and I'm looking up my taxes, and I hate it. I just can't stand it. Like, it just bores me. Maybe another thing. Here's another one. Maybe this is on your list. How about going to the Secretary of State office? Anyone just, can't wait, you know, registration, pay all that money for my vehicle, right? You just love that. Sorry, just bores the daylights out of me. Maybe you, like me, you found some time in this last year over quarantine that got just a little bit boring, right? I mean, like staring at four walls in your home. I mean, just find it just boring, so dull. Well, I want to tell you that the dominant view on heaven, especially among younger people, is that heaven is dull. Heaven is boring. In fact, art doesn't help us out. A lot of times, there are images and ideas that we kind of get from culture that make us sort of think this way. In fact, a lot of people think heaven is sort of like this precious moments, right? We're just chubby babies floating around on clouds. And I mean, look at these people. They look bored, right? They look so, you know, unimpressed with what heaven is going to be like. And actually, other people say, well, hell looks like a lot more fun, right? I mean, the sinners are having all the fun in hell. I mean, it's sort of like the band is getting cooking and, you know, there's never-ending happy hour. It's like, why would I want heaven and clouds and bathrobes and playing a harp? Like, hell is where all the fun is. It's where the Harleys are and flannel shirts and guitars. I mean, just watch any show that depicts hell. In fact, one popular author said, I'd rather have a good time in hell than be bored in heaven. And I got to tell you, this is the lie of Satan. And he's been trying to get us to buy into this lie ever since the beginning of time. And the lie is this. The lie is that somehow God is holding out on you, right? That heaven isn't really that great. In fact, sin looks way more enticing than obedience. And that couldn't be further from the truth, that God is holding out on you. And so I want to try to answer this question because I think it's such a problem today that, heaven is going to be boring. In fact, I think part of the problem with heaven, or part of the problem with the afterlife in general, is it just becomes sort of an afterthought for most of us. We don't spend a lot of time thinking about where we go after this life. In fact, the other competing view for today is really, you know, just live for today, right? I mean, get the most, just do it, you know, kind of seize the day, live for this moment. In fact, we see that all throughout history. That is sort of the way in which we're encouraged to live. Many of you know, I love the Beatles. They're like my all-time favorite band. I grew up kind of a child. My mom was a hippie child, and so I grew up just playing on the living room floor with Beatles music constantly. In fact, you come over to my house now, you'll probably still hear Beatles music in our kitchen. But I think John Lennon got it wrong. I think he got it wrong. In his song, Imagine, he talks about heaven. The song was written in 1971, the year I was born. Coincidence? Just coincidence? I don't think so, right? In fact, look at these words. He says, imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. You think about that. That's really what people get drawn into. I'm just going to live for today. There's no heaven, there's no hell even. I'm just going to live in the moment. I want to tell you today very clearly that heaven is real and so is hell. And I want more than anything else for you to experience heaven. I want for you to go there and to spend eternity with Jesus. I want you to experience that life. And I want to do as much as I can in this series to prepare you for that opportunity. As I said, I've been kind of immersing myself in the scriptures, and it really is shocking. There are over 600 references in the Bible to heaven. And it seems like everywhere I'm reading, I see another reference to heaven. And I can't possibly address 600 references in a series. So what I've been doing is I've been kind of taking note of all these references. And today you're going to see we're going to cover a lot of scripture. And you might feel like, I can't keep up, or I want to go back and reference this. Well, we actually have captured all this scripture into a weekly study guide for all of our small group leaders, and you can have access to it, whether you're in a small group or not. You can get that study guide and all these scripture references right on our app or on our website, and maybe that'll be something that could just serve you as you study and dig into this topic as well. My task today is to help you understand that you will enjoy heaven in ways in which you will never be able to enjoy life here on planet Earth. I want to give you four ways in which heaven will not be boring. And the first is this. The first reality is that you will worship in heaven. Now, some of you are looking at me with this expression like, well, duh, Pastor, that's kind of my problem with heaven. Like, I can't imagine having to spend eternity in a church service. I'm not even so sure I like an hour here, right? Like, come on, Pastor. I mean, this is getting a little long as it is. And you're thinking, this is the dreaded part about heaven. I got to spend eternity in church service. Well, think about it for a moment. When I read the Bible, I get a very different description of what our experience of life together will be. I get a very different experience. And don't get me wrong, I love what we do here at this church. I love everything about it. I really hate it when I travel because I miss being here so much. I miss just the experience that God creates here. I love our band. I love our new lights. I love just the people that I get to be a part of here. But when I read the Bible, I get a very different, I get this complete view. And I think you'll see what I mean when we read this together. I want to read a section from Revelation chapter 4 because this is the image of what's going on in the church service in heaven. Revelation is kind of a book in the Bible that a lot of people, they stay away from. They think, it's going to be too hard to read, or it's not going to make sense. And there's a lot of symbolism in the book of Revelation. But what you're really getting is you're getting this vision into the throne room of heaven. John, one of the disciples, is getting this look. He's isolated, he's alone, and God comes and ministers to him by giving him this vision. It's Revelation 4, starting in verse 1, and I'll read. It says, after this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. In front of the throne, seven lamps were blazing. They are the seven spirits of God. Also in front of the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. Get this. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wings. Day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Now, I got to tell you, I grew up in the church. I'm kind of a church kid. I'm a church pastor now, and I've been to a lot of church services. I've never seen that before, right? Like, I've never been in church and all of a sudden seen, you know, this amazing display in this way, right? I mean, these are the words of Jesus. These are the red letters of Jesus. And sure enough, this John gets brought up into this throne room, and it's like nothing he's ever seen before. Of course, it's brilliant, and there's emerald and ruby, and there's Jesus sitting on the throne. And then surrounding that throne, it says there's this rainbow. Think about that, a rainbow that encircles the throne. I mean, think about it. When you see a rainbow today, you see what? You see just the arc of the rainbow. We get to heaven and we see everything is complete, including this rainbow, this complete circle around the throne of God. It's not just Jesus on the throne. There's these 24 other thrones. And scholars would say that this is symbolic of kind of the continuity of the Old Testament and the New Testament. So 12 thrones for the 12 tribes of Israel and 12 thrones for the 12 apostles. And there's this completeness in what John is seeing. And it's just amazing. It's like the best rock concert ever, right? I mean, there's thunder and lightning, and it's just like nothing John has ever seen before. But maybe you're drawn to kind of that strange reference to those flying creatures, right? Like, what is going on there? I mean, it's a crazy scene, isn't it? What are these four living creatures? One's like a lion, the other's like an ox, the other's an eagle, the one has a face like a man. I mean, who's ever seen? They've got six wings, and there's eyeballs all over the wings and under the wings. It's like your mom who said when you were a kid, right, I can see what's going on. I got eyes on the back of my head. Well, these creatures actually did. They had eyes everywhere. What are these things? These are divine beings. Now, some of you are thinking, well, break that down for me, Pastor. What do you mean? Like, are these angels? No, these are not angels. Well, are these like human beings? No, these are not human beings. Well, do you mean to tell me that I turn into this when I go to heaven? No, I definitely did not say that. These are divine beings, and you don't experience or see these on earth. These are something that God's created in the heavenly realm alone. And it kind of just maybe makes your curiosity kind of start to kind of peak a little bit. Well, like, what else is up in heaven that's created just for this realm? I mean, these creatures are strange and bizarre, and yet they're kind of enticing in a way, too. Let me try a different way to explain this to you. Like, let me ask you this. How many of you, raise your hands, how many of you like going to the zoo, right? Like, just raise your hands. Like going to the zoo, maybe the John Ball Zoo, maybe like the San Diego Zoo or Chicago Zoo. Why is that? Why do we like to go to a place like a zoo? Well, we want to see these animals, and we want to see them in some sort of, like, what their natural habitat would be, right? I mean, we want to see them prowl around, but of course we want that plexiglass between us. Why? Because there's this curiosity in our hearts that God has placed here. Like, how does this world work? How does this animal kingdom work? Now, some of you right now are thinking about maybe animals and maybe kind of this idea of, well, what is the animal kingdom going to look like in heaven? Or maybe even more specifically, some of you today are wondering, well, like, how about my pets, Pastor? Like, are my pets going to be with me in heaven? If you have that question, I got really good news for you. I'm going to answer that question next week. So, kind of a cliffhanger. You got to come back next week, and I'm going to answer that question for you. But even now, you can see that heaven is this very curious. How can this be boring? Let me kind of push it just a little bit. Let me maybe even make you feel a little uncomfortable for a moment. Because these divine creatures are so strange, right? They remind me not only of the animal kingdom, but they make me think about something else. I mean, do you know of anyone, maybe not yourself, but do you know of anyone that's sort of just maybe a little preoccupied with other life forms? You know, anyone who's maybe like all they think about is aliens, you know, they wear the tinfoil hat, and they think about this stuff all the time. It doesn't seem like a week goes by where we don't get some news about someone sighting a UFO or wanting to go to Area 51. Why? What is that inside of us? There's this weird curiosity we have about kind of extraterrestrial life, or maybe even like Bigfoot. Like, does Bigfoot exist? And why? Like, we get drawn into that. And is your pastor saying that there are aliens on other planets? No, I did not say that. But is there something about these divine beings in heaven that just put in our hearts this longing to get to know what God has truly and really created? I would say it this way: God has a crazy family, and when you get to heaven, you'll get to meet the rest of them. And these creatures are certainly proof of that. I love this verse from 1 Corinthians 13. It says, "For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." Think about that. Here on this side of heaven, there are just some limits to what we really can know and understand, maybe especially when it comes to thinking and knowing about what God has really done and what God has really created, both on earth and in the heavenly realms. And this idea that we will worship in heaven is kind of this idea that what God has done should just kind of in our hearts just turn us to want to give him all the glory. Now, worship is more than just singing or praying or even listening to a sermon. Really, worship is all of our heart reflecting this attitude, this God that has created everything. I want to give him all the glory for who he truly is. And when you begin to think about what worship is, how it's not just singing or not just listening to a song, it's all of our life can be worship. And I think especially when we get to heaven and we get to really peel back this layer of seeing who God truly is. In fact, I was thinking just in some of the ways in which we know how different God is from us now. This chart kind of gives us some ideas of how different God is from us as human beings. First of all, God is the creator. And God created everything in existence from nothing. Ex nihilo, we call that, meaning he created out of nothing. We are the pinnacle of his creation. We are his created beings. We are his creatures. And some of you might push back on that and say, well, no, wait a minute. I'm creative. I mean, you should see me. I can be really creative. You should see me, like, when I'm in my element, oh, I am so creative. Well, you might be, and you probably are. That's the reflection of God in your life. But you don't create from nothing. You create from the raw materials that God has already created. God is truly the creator. God is also in control, whereas we are dependent on God's grace and mercy. God is all-powerful. As strong as we think we are limited and weak compared to God. God is all-knowing. We have this knowledge that is sort of revelatory, right? Like we're revealed. We're a knowledge that learns as it goes. God loves unconditionally. We learn to love. In fact, a lot of us resist love. We resist even being loved at times. We're so fickle that way. And God loves unconditionally, loves all people. And when you begin to kind of allow your mind to expand and take in, this is the God that I get to worship, then our heart's response should be of worship. I mean, you're going to get to heaven. You're going to know fully. You're going to have God face to face. I mean, the response will not be what we think of worship as drudgery, but worship will be this response of, I serve this amazing God who's made this all known and available to me. Worship is this attitude. It's an attitude and a response to who God is, and everything can be worship. Which brings me to my second thought, and this idea that heaven is boring. I want to tell you that heaven is the continuation of all work and all leisure. Like, your work and your leisure will continue in heaven. And for some of you, that raises all sorts of questions. Like, wait a minute. I thought when I went to heaven, I was like clocking out. Like, I didn't have to do any more work. Well, think about it. Heaven will be the place where you finally get some things done. I mean, where your work actually comes to completion. You'll get to continue it all the way to completion. That's what God has intended. In fact, I love this verse from Revelation 5, verse 10. It says, "You have made them," which is us, "you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Think about that. The idea that God will entrust with us this idea of reigning with him, that we'll be in this realm of God, in the heavenly realms, and we'll actually have this ability to reign on earth. Now, what does that mean? That means that what God started in the garden, which was perfect, will continue in this city of heaven, and we'll continue to reign with him. The idea of reigning with God is that we'll actually have dominion, that we'll actually have this mastery over things on earth. And that's where I believe some of our work and our leisure will actually continue on in who we are. But it won't just happen immediately. Just because you're in heaven doesn't mean that everything will be done. Things will be made perfect, but things will not be completed. In fact, you'll have to grow in this reigning with God. This shouldn't surprise us. This is the way we mature. This is the way we grow. And this is the way eternity will continue. In fact, if you think about it, the way Jesus came down and revealed himself, it was one of growing and developing and advancing. I love this verse from Luke 2:52. It says, "And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Jesus grew. That idea of growing is this idea of advancing. It's advancing in the realm of having this reign with God, of co-creator with God. I'll give you a couple examples from the idea of leisure. Think about advancing in even the area of leisure. How many of you have a hobby? Show of hands, how many of you have a hobby, but that hobby kind of frustrates you, right? You had a hobby and it frustrates you. Let me ask that differently, because I don't see enough hands going up. How many of you play golf, right? Like, you got a hobby, and it's just a little bit frustrating, right? Like, you think, like, that ball should go the same way every time I hit it, and it never does, right? It's like it's got a mind of its own. It's so frustrating. Think about the concept of golf in heaven. I love golf. I don't play hardly any golf anymore, but I love it. I still love to watch it. I watched way too much golf last week when the Masters was on, Augusta National. Like, I think that course is just so magical just to watch and to see how difficult these shots are and to see Hideki Matsuyama walk around that course and just own that thing. You know, the first Japanese golfer to win the green jacket. And I just watched that, and I just felt so in awe, like, oh, I'll never be able to do that. I mean, they'll never let me on Augusta National in this lifetime. But I got thinking, heaven is a better place than earth. So in heaven, I'll get to play Augusta. I'll get to play something better than Augusta. But that doesn't mean that just because I'm playing golf in heaven, that instantly, every time I step on the tee box, I'm going to hit a hole in one, right? There's going to be this growing, this advancing in my understanding of the game, right? Like, over time, I'll have the capacity to actually get better, which doesn't seem to happen on earth, but I'll get better in heaven. I'll learn how to hit maybe the high fade shot or the bunker shot, or I'll drive the ball 300 yards, right? I can guarantee you this, in heaven, there'll be fewer broken clubs and less cussing on the golf course. I'm just promising you that in heaven. I'll give you another example. Someone asked me last week, they said, "Pastor, will there be fishing in heaven?" And I said, "Well, of course there'll be fishing in heaven." I mean, think about it. Peter, Andrew, James, John, like a quarter of the disciples were fishermen. And yet, when you get to heaven and you dig into this hobby of yours, it maybe frustrates you here on earth, but when you get to heaven, it's not like the fish are just going to jump in the boat, right? You're going to advance in your capacity to understand this sport, master angler, whatever it is. Whatever your hobby is, you'll begin to grow in the capacity. What about work? Someone might ask, well, what about work? Well, obviously, work is going to continue in heaven, but work is going to be different. In fact, you could say that there are some professions that are just clearly not going to be needed in heaven, right? And we're told that heaven is this place where there's no more death or mourning or crying or pain. And so, well, as I see it, I mean, you're not going to need funeral directors in heaven, right? You're just not going to need them. And we're probably not going to need doctors researching the cure for cancer in heaven. We're not going to need insurance agents selling us life insurance in heaven. Like, none of those things are going to be needed, but it doesn't mean that you'll be unemployed in heaven. In fact, I think whatever that interest is, whatever that hobby is, whatever that thing is that you'd love to do, if you didn't have to do your 9-to-5 job, that'll be what God calls you and initiates you to do in heaven. Think about it. We'll still need people who have all sorts of gainful vocation in heaven. We'll need people that can do all sorts of things. We'll need gardeners and engineers and builders and artists and musicians and scientists and electricians and hundreds of other vocations. The main difference about your work in heaven won't be that you won't be working, but that there will be no curse to your work. In fact, we're told in the very beginning in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned, that they were placed outside the garden and they were told that their work would be cursed, their work would be toilsome. Could you imagine your work in heaven? It won't have this toil to it. You ever kind of feel like, oh, my work is so hard, or you complain about your job, or you complain about your boss, or you complain about your coworkers? In heaven, that toil, that curse will be removed. So you'll have this continuation. What great joy our work and our leisure will be. Third thought, third way in which heaven won't be boring is that the best of friendship is found in heaven. The best of friendship will be found in heaven. And we know what the worst of friendship is, right? And we know the worst. The worst of friendship is friends who turn out to not really be friends, and friends who talk about you behind your back, or friends that you try to keep up with. There's sort of this status. There's sort of this desire to keep up with. There's friends that they post things, and you just kind of cringe when they post something online. There won't be any of that. There'll only be the best part of friendship in heaven, where there's real community and real genuine care and love for one another. The things that we struggle with here in this life become all that a friendship is made of in the next. But here's the deal. We are made for community. A lot of people think, oh, it's just me and Jesus. All I need is God. If I just have God, I'll be set. And that would be missing such an important part of how God has designed us. God has designed us for worship, but God has also designed us for community. In fact, the Apostle Paul, who started so many churches, he would start a church, and then he would move to another city and start another church. And I think when he got to the end of his life, he began to think about what this was like, that there were all these people and all these relationships that he only got to start. He never got to finish them. And that's why I think Paul would say things like, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And Paul, at the end of his life, starts reflecting on what heaven would be like. And he says this about community. In fact, it's in 1 Thessalonians 2. He says, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus? Think about that for a minute. What is he describing there? What is he describing? He says, for what is our hope? Heaven. What is our joy? Heaven. What's kind of our crown with jewels in it? A description of heaven. What's face-to-face, the presence of Jesus? Heaven. He goes, what are all these things that I'm looking forward to in heaven? Is it not you? Indeed, you are our glory and our joy. Paul's saying that heaven is only complete with the people that I get to continue this relationship throughout all of eternity. Think of how different that is in the way in which we relate to people now. The people that drain you now, there will be this perfect union and perfect joy to be together in heaven. Think about that. You'll have the best of heaven. You'll have the best of friendship together. And you'll have the opportunity for new relationships. I mean, how can that be boring? I was thinking this week about how I never got to meet Billy Graham, and he's kind of a hero of mine. He's kind of a hero for all of us pastors, right? And in heaven, I'll get to meet Billy Graham. I'll get to spend time with him, as well as other people that I'm excited to meet in heaven, people that are Christians, people like Leonardo da Vinci and Martin Luther and C.S. Lewis, and of course, people from the Bible like Abraham and Moses and Deborah and Esther. I mean, how can it be boring to spend time just getting to know these people and spending time with people who love Jesus just like you? Last thought, fourth way in which heaven cannot be boring is this. Heaven is perfectly diverse and radically united. This just kind of brought me to my knees this week, just thinking about this idea. Heaven is perfectly diverse and radically united. Think of how we miss this so much in this life. Think of how we miss perfect diversity and radical unity. Look at the image of heaven. It's in Revelation 7. It says this. It says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. Do you see what they're doing? Every tribe, every people, every nation, they're standing. They're not rioting. There's not violence or disagreement. They're standing together in unity. What an incredible picture this is of heaven. Do you think our world could use a little bit of this right now, a little bit of perfect diversity and radical unity? Do you think that Minneapolis could use a little bit of this right now? Do you think that Chicago could use an image of this right now? Do you think that even here in Rockford, where we have such little diversity, just a shadow of diversity, do you think we could actually learn what this looks like and grow and what our unity together would look like? It just got me excited just thinking about Heaven is going to be this place where there's no barriers. There's only unity. You get to hang with people that are professing the same faith from other nations, other cultures. You get to meet people from Africa and Indonesia and Siberia and the Philippines and the underground church in China. I mean, how could this be boring? I want to invite the worship team to come up and just give us some time to reflect and to worship the God that truly makes all of this possible. Heaven will certainly not be boring. It'll be an opportunity where the barriers have been removed and we can worship and be together and grow in our community and our love for one another. But we aren't there yet. And so on this side of heaven, our hope is truly in Jesus. And I want to just invite you as we close our time out today just to simply have a moment of reflection and a moment of just turning your eyes to him and to looking to the things beyond this life. If you would bow your head and if you would pray with me, please. God, I'm so thankful for your word. I'm thankful for the truth that it brings. God, that while we struggle and while we find ourselves at times longing for a better place, you have truly promised it for us in heaven. And God, while we aren't there yet, we have an opportunity to, in our own ways, in the little bit of opportunity we have, to reflect your glory here on earth. And so God, I pray as we leave this place, as we leave this time, that you would never allow us to think that heaven is boring, but that you would just grow in our imagination, that you would grow in our hearts, this longing to be there and to bring as many people as we possibly can to experience it with us, Lord. We give you this time and we give you all of our worship. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
This podcast is a service of Bridgeway Community Church in Rockford, Michigan. Visit bridgewaycommunity.org for more information and other messages.